Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Happy Easter. We're celebrating, I think, the greatest Sunday ever. Billy Graham once said, "If I were an enemy of Christianity, I would aim right at the resurrection." Because that is the heart of Christianity.
Yes.
E.M. Job, British philosopher, said, "To say that Jesus Christ died is one thing. Even to say that he died on a cross for the world's sin is another thing. Because even today, anybody could do that. Anybody could get themselves crucified and claim to die for the sins of the world. But to say that 3 days later he rose from the dead is another thing altogether." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Every religion in the world can point to a founding father, even point to to his grave. But only Christianity points to an empty tomb and says that our founder is alive. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Thank you for the word of God. Beloved, we're gathered here today, then this Sunday, to celebrate perhaps the greatest, well, without a doubt, the greatest event in all of history. Father, as we spend this short time together in your word, cause the reality and the power of your resurrection to be personally come alive into our lives today. In Jesus' name, and everyone would pray and agree and say, amen. 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 Question, have you ever heard of a guy named Harry Houdini? Most people have heard of Houdini. He died on October 1926. Harry Houdini was an incredible magician who specialized in fantastic, phenomenal escapes. He was an escape artist. They said of Houdini that he laughed at locks and he sneered at feathers. And they did all kinds of things to try to capture him, to try to contain him, to try to lock him up, to try to incarcerate him. You know, they'd seal him in coffins and he'd escape. They'd sew him up in bags of canvas and he'd escape. They once riveted him into a boiler and he escaped. You know, they locked him into a milk can and he would escape. They sealed him in a beer barrel, and he would escape. They put him into a maximum security prison, and somehow Harry escaped. But then one day, in October of 1926, death laid its hands upon Harry Houdini, and he put him in a grave. And he is yet to escape. You know, as a matter of fact, he told his wife, "If there's any way out, I'll find that way. If there's any way out, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to come back on the anniversary of my date, and we're going to celebrate." And so for 10 years, she lit a light over his portrait. And at the end of the 10 years, she put the light out. Because death had Harry, and he could not escape. See, death also laid his hands on Jesus Christ. Death put Jesus in a rock-hewn tomb. A huge stone was rolled in front. A Roman government seal was put upon that tomb. But 3 days later, Jesus Christ stirred himself from the sleep of death. And he left those grave clothes that were wrapped around him like a butterfly would leave its and shed its cocoon. And Jesus Christ walked right through the walls of that rock-hewn tomb. And Jesus Christ is alive. He is not behind us in a grave. He is before us on a throne. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He is alive. But I'm going to ask you a question. Suppose it didn't happen. Suppose that Jesus is still held by death in a grave, just like death holds Harry Houdini. Suppose Easter never happened. What then? What then? You know, and the Apostle Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul asks this question. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is what? Futile. And you are still in your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be more pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. The Apostle Paul mentions an unthinkable thing. He says, what if there had been no resurrection? What if there had been no Easter? What if Christ is still in the grave? Now, if that's true, there are six tragic things that we need to consider if there's no Easter. I'm going to give you six things that we would not have today that would be so tragic if Christ was still in the grave. Actually, I took these from a message by Adrian Rogers. Ever heard of Adrian Rogers? The late, great Adrian Rogers. Six things, tragic things that we need to consider if there's no Easter. Number one, first thing, preaching the gospel would be in vain. Why preach the gospel? Every missionary endeavor after Christ would have been a total waste. Every missionary sent out in the mission field should come right back home because it's useless. Why are they preaching the gospel if Christ did not rise from the grave? Amen? That word vain means empty, futile, with no purpose, a colossal waste of time. Another version, 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then all of preaching is useless. It's useless, right? If there's no Easter, then you and I, we're wasting our time here today. I'm wasting my time preaching, and you're wasting your time listening to me, right? We should all go home and do something else, right? We're wasting our time. Our preaching is useless, futile, worthless. Got it out. Get it out. If Christ is still in the grave. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Why is that? Because the resurrection is the heart of Christianity. It's the resurrection. Just as the heart pumps life-giving blood to every single part of our body, the truth of the resurrection pumps life into every single part of the Bible, into gospel truth. That's what gives us life, right? We say, what about the cross? What about the cross? You know, I'm all for the cross. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I love the cross. That's, we know, as a church, we embrace the cross. That's why we have this cross. It is so bold. It's a beautiful thing. But a lot of people are offended by the cross. And they won't have a cross. Because they say, well, the cross is offensive because it speaks of pain and suffering and it turns people off. No! We need to understand this. Calvary's cross expresses the love of God. It's the greatest act of God. Every time I look at that cross, it doesn't say, oh, it turns me off because it's pain and blood. No. It's a symbol of his love. I love the cross. I bow before the cross. It's an act of love, the greatest act of God, of love, the symbol of the greatest act of God, of love, is the cross. Amen? Calvary's cross expresses the love of God, but the resurrection explains the power of God. The power of God. The incredible power that was unleashed and the incredible exertion, the Bible says, that God had to exert to raise his son from the dead, off the cross, into eternal life. What was he doing? You know, God wasn't just raising his son, he was raising mankind from their sins. What a powerful thing. It took so much exertion. The gospel is not only that Christ died, that he lived and he died and was buried, but the gospel is that all about Christ living, dying, being buried, and then raising himself back to life. Amen? And the Apostle Paul says, without that, preaching is useless. Might as well not preach. Just close shop, go home, right? That's the first thing. If Christ did not rise from the dead, if he's still in his grave, our preaching is vain. Number two, our faith would be in vain. Faith would be in pain. Not only is preaching useless, but our faith is useless if Christ is still in the grave. Here's the question. Who wants to put his faith in Jesus if Jesus is dead? Why would you want to put your faith in him, right? It's not enough to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. It's not enough. That won't save you. I'll prove it to you out of the Word. Romans 10:9, Paul said, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that what? That God raised him from the dead. See, it's the resurrection. You got to believe, not just the fact that Jesus went to the cross. It is finished, yes. But he rose from the grave. Makes all the difference in the world. This is the difference between Jesus Christ and all the other founders of religion, right? Of other religions. They all lived, and they all died, and they're all dead, and they're all losers. Aren't they? But Jesus, he lived, he died, was buried, and he rose again. Why follow a loser? Amen? Only Jesus did that. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Paul says he was declared to be who? The Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. God raised him up from the dead. That was God's stamp of approval on all that Jesus said, he did, and all that he taught. He proved that he was God, he was the Son of God, by his own resurrection. Amen? This is a story of a little boy in a classroom, and a teacher gives him an assignment. She tells all the students, I want you to write an essay on the greatest man, on the greatest person alive. And so some wrote about the president, some wrote about people from the entertainment world, some wrote about philosophers and inventors. But this little boy, he wrote an essay on Jesus Christ. And when the teacher got that paper, she said to him, that's a nice paper, nice essay, but you misunderstood the assignment. I asked you to write on the greatest person alive. He said, but teacher, he is alive. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living God. And that's why we can put our faith and trust in him, because he is alive. Amen? Amen? Number three. If Jesus is still in the grave, number three, the disciples would be deceivers. Listen to what Paul says. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. If Jesus is still in the grave, the disciples are false witnesses. They were liars. But these disciples, they were tortured, they were persecuted, and they were martyred. Someone said, a man may live for a lie, but few, if any, would ever die for a lie. Right? And many of these disciples, they were the ones who talked with Jesus, they ate with him, they fellowshiped with him, they touched him, all after the resurrection. And later, all of them suffered, they bled, they died, because they believed what? They believed in Jesus. You know, let's go back to that slide. These are a picture of the apostles here. There's a picture of that. I mean, look at the way they died. How did the apostles die? They died in various ways. Bartholomew, flayed to death by whip in Asia Minor. Andrew, crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. Simon, crucified in Persia. James, beheaded in Palestine. Thomas, stabbed with the spear in India. Peter, crucified upside down by Nero. Matthew, impaled by spears in Ethiopia. James, thrown off a wall, then clubbed to death. Jude, crucified by Magi in Persia. John, died in exile on the island of Patmos. Matthias, stoned and beheaded. Philip, hung by iron hooks, upside down. We did not follow clearly devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They believed in the Jesus Christ, right? The disciples were not deceivers. They were true believers. They knew Jesus Christ. Number four, if Christ is still in the grave, then sin would be sovereign. 1 Corinthians 15:17, Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. You know, we're all sinners, aren't we? We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by nature. You know, we're sinners even by, you know, practice. And some people are sinners by choice, aren't we? Right? You know, you ever heard of this popular Christian saying, and I've said this too, well, we're just all sinners. We're just all sinners anyway, aren't we? You know, we're all sinners saved by grace. And you know, this truth to the fact that we're all sinners. But listen, my identity is not that I'm a sinner anymore. It's not. My identity is that I'm a son of God. And more, through his power in me, I'm learning to live in victory over sin. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint in Christ. And I'm growing into that nature, amen? So stop saying I'm just a lowly sinner, because you're not. You're a child of God. Get your head up, your shoulders back, and walk in that identity, amen? That's what God told me. Get your head up, Doug. You're looking down. You need to be looking up. Amen. That's so much truth in that, isn't it? My identity, I'm not a sinner, but I'm a saint. I'm a man of God who's living with God's power, and I've got victory moving in my life. Amen? I would say this, listen, if Christ is still in the grave, then there's no hope of forgiveness of any sin. There's no hope. And the Bible says that God is holy, right? God is holy. God simply cannot overlook sin. If God would cease to judge sin, then God would cease to be holy. He's a holy God. That's who he is, right? Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says he was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to what? To make us right. His shed blood made us right with God. Romans 6:23, one of my favorite scriptures. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? The fact that Jesus died for you is not important unless he also rose from the dead, right? Listen, no resurrection, no Savior, right? No Savior, no forgiveness. No forgiveness, no justification. No justification, no cleansing. Sorry for spinning. I get to spit because I'm preaching, right? Listen, if there's no cleansing, then we're still living in the penalty of our sins. And that means that you are destined, you and I were destined for hell and death because we're still in our sins. Amen? But thanks be to Jesus who paid, who rose. He's the risen Savior who paid for our sins on the cross through his death and his blood. Amen? So we don't, I say he came not just to deal with our sins, but why did he come? He came in love, in massive, incredible love. That's why he came. Thank God he came. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And he sees the sacrifice that Jesus made that washed your sins away forever. Amen? So that now, you and I, you know, if we sin, we can just turn to God, repent, and say, God, forgive me. And God will forgive you in an instant. Because of what Jesus did, we can now enjoy his presence and we can live in his power forever. Amen? Number five. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then death would have a dominion. 1 Corinthians 15:18, Paul says, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then death would have dominion. But because Jesus came to earth in the form of man and triumphed over death, and he rose from the grave, then we too can have victory over death. Amen? In this life, there are more kinds of death than just physical death. There are things like death to ideals, death to hopes, death to dreams, death to relationships. There are many forms of death that we can experience in this life. And I believe the good news of Easter, when it comes to death, is this on your PowerPoint. Everywhere there is death, the risen Christ comes and he brings life. Amen? Everywhere there is death. Everywhere. Hopes, dreams, goals. Death to believing for a better life. Death to believing for a greater life. We can believe again. Right? And I believe that maybe this is one of those days in which you and I, we need to reach out to the living Christ. And we need to cry out to Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, God, death is creeping into areas of my life. I've given up hope. I've given up my dreams. I'm not believing you like I should before. And it's that, you know, maybe today is the day that we all need to come to Jesus and we need to cry out to him to come into those areas of life where death has started to creep in. Amen? Why don't we do that right now? Let's bow our heads right now before for the Lord. Let's ask Jesus. Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, come into our lives. Into our lives that are so filled with death and bring life. Come to us in all the circumstances of our lives. Come to us where we've been crushed, where our routine, as life has become so routine and so empty. Come to us when we're down and we're depressed. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Bring hope. Bring peace. Bring joy. Bring that vision. Bring that faith back into every area of our life and cause us to believe and to dream again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 He comes into every circumstance of life. And he comes to every kind of people. Amen? And he brings, what does he bring? Life. What kind of life? What kind of life does he bring? Resurrection life. Jesus described that resurrection life in John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come to bring you life, and that abundantly. I love the Passion Version. But I have come to give you everything in what? Abundance. More than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You know, this life Jesus was talking about wasn't some old life that was kind of refurbished or just revarnished. Not just a little renovation. It's not what he's talking about, is he? And I've recently read a story. There was this court case, a unique court case that was held in North Dallas. And it was against this company called Unique Auto Performance. Unique Performance. And on the next slide, customers paid up to $200,000 for a replica of a Shelby Mustang. This car is one of the most iconic of muscle cars ever. And the modern day version would look like this. Can I say this? If you ever want to buy me a gift, if you're ever thinking about blessing your pastor, I would receive one of these. They just rolled the 10 millionth Mustang off the lines last month. Right? Customers wanted this replica Shelby Mustang, willing to pay $200,000 for this Mustang. And as the story unfolded, it appears this company used old Shelby bodies. They removed the VIN stickers, the plates. They used knockoff parts from Taiwan and up to 13 gallons of putty body filler to hide the creases and the dents to make the cars look new. Now, these cars were not constructed by skilled professionals, but rather by convicted felons, right? So, the buyers, not surprisingly, the buyers balked. They balked because they did not want some patched up old car, but they wanted a new car perfectly made. God is not in the renovation business. He's in the resurrection business. Amen? Amen. Listen to what the scripture says. For just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a what? New life. Not an old renovated life, something patched on, a little fix here and there. A brand new life. It's like starting all over again. Amen? That's what's possible for you because Christ is no longer in the grave. Yeah. Last one. If Christ is in the grave, the future would be fearful. Listen, the belief that Jesus Christ is alive today, risen from the dead, is the most powerful belief in the world. When we believe in the risen Christ, we have hope that withstands every disappointment, overcomes every fear. I say that whenever we feel defeated or disappointed or living in fear, what's actually happened is that we've lost hold of our belief in the resurrection. Something's happened to us. I said that resurrection has to be more than just a mere idea in your mind. It has to be a deep heart conviction right in your soul. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe in the resurrection. It's not a good thought. It's not a good thing that happened. It's something that you really need to believe in. In Acts chapter 1 is a story. It talks about the disciples are all together. They're 11. They're supposed to be 12. Who's missing? Who's gone? Anybody know? Judas is gone because he betrayed Jesus. Peter says, hey, we're not the 11 disciples. We're the 12. We've got to find somebody to replace Jesus, to replace Judas. And so in verse 21, Peter says, so then we must choose his replacement from among those who have been with us from the very beginning, from John's baptism until Jesus' ascension. And like us, he must be a what? He must be a witness of what? Of his resurrection. Whoever they chose had to have this witness deep in their heart. Because when persecution came, they would not be able to cut it. They would not be able to stand. Amen? And persecution, boy, did it ever come. because of the resurrection, we have a hope for the future that is steadfast, that is secure, that is forever. Do you realize that? Because of what Jesus did. You know, hope is not a principle. Hope is not a belief. Hope is a who. Hope is a who. That's who it is. Somebody strong enough, somebody wise enough, somebody good enough to take us to a better place. And that person is Jesus. That someone is Jesus Christ. His resurrection proves that he's stronger than any setback, than any loss and any disappointment, right? Than any tiger that comes at nighttime, than any pestilence that stalks by night, than any plague that destroys by midday. He's stronger, right? And we can believe. You can believe for a better life. You can believe for an abundant life. You can believe. You can believe for a better marriage. You can believe for healing in your bodies. You can believe for a successful business. You can believe for financial breakthroughs. You can believe. You know what the Holy Spirit is just literally shouting right now? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that God can still heal you? Are you still... When I tell you, I'm looking for healing in my body. I'm still looking for healing for my wife's body, but I haven't given up. I want to tell you, sometimes I feel like giving up. But you know, when I read the scriptures and I realize what God has done for me, it's all been done. It was finished for us. All those things that we're looking for in this life has already been given to us by God. It was accomplished when Jesus said, "It is finished." Amen? We need to believe. I don't want to go over the line here. Do it. Okay. You'll forgive me, though, because there's always a balance in every teaching. Maybe you might have to come back next week and put that back in the balance. Okay. You cannot receive unless you believe. You cannot receive unless you believe. You're looking for a better life. You're looking for healing. Then believe that God has healing for you. You're looking for financial breakthrough, get out of debt. You got to believe. You're living in a home that's too small for you. You need a better place. You need a better job. You need to believe. If you don't believe, you will not receive. And I know sometimes we believe and we've got disappointed. And I don't always know, we don't always understand the circumstances when we thought we really believed. And we didn't receive. But I tell you, God is saying, you never give up in any situation because we don't know the circumstances, entirely understand why maybe that particular thing didn't happen. But we need to believe in order to receive. Amen? Here's the conclusion. I want to say this first. If life has a way of killing dreams, Jesus has a way of bringing them back to life. Conclusion. Because Jesus rose from the dead, preaching is profitable, faith is feasible, the impossible become possible. That means sickness, addiction, debt, all those things can be overcome. The disciples are dependable. Number four, sin is subdued. We can have victory over sin. Sin can be beaten. Sin can be overcome. Number five, death has been defeated. Death has been swallowed up by life, by eternal life. This death here on earth is just the very, very beginning of real, unending, incredible, massive, amazing eternal life in heaven, right? And number six, because Jesus rose from the dead, the future is fabulous. The future is fabulous. How many of you are thankful for Jesus? How many of you are thankful for Jesus? Let's stand up. Let's stand up and let's thank him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for victory over sin, victory over death. The future is fabulous. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for rising yourself up from the dead. Thank you for all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, You can be seated. I love what J. Wilbur Chapman said. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified me freely forever. One day, he's coming back. Oh, glorious day. Last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will appear with the declaration of victory, the shout of an archangel, and the trumpet blast of God. He will descend from the heavenly realm and command those who are dead in Christ to rise first. Then we who are alive will join them, transported together in clouds, to have an encounter with the Lord in the air, and we will forever be joined with the Lord. My question is this today. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus? Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, you may be here today, and maybe you've never asked Jesus to be leader and the Lord of your life. You've never invited him into your heart personally. Today he offers you freedom. Forgiveness, freedom from all sin. He offers you a brand new beginning. A new life here on earth with significance and purpose and his presence and power inside of you. Not with you, just even inside of you as well as with you. And you know what else he offers you? Eternal life in heaven. Heaven, a place of eternal joy, peace, life, and love. Jesus came for you. Amen. You only need to do two things. Believe. Just believe. Believe that God sent his son to die on the cross for you. Believe that he rose from the grave. And then just receive. Receive the gift of eternal life. A brand new start. A new beginning is here for you today, starting today. If that's you, I want you to pray this very simple, short prayer to receive Christ into your life for a new beginning. So let's pray this prayer out loud. In fact, can we have everyone pray this prayer out loud? How do I want you to pray? Out loud. Okay, are you ready? Lord Jesus, be leader. Be Lord of my life. Please forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Today, Jesus, make me into that new person in Jesus Christ. In your name, I pray. Amen.